1 Corinthians 10, from verse 23 to chapter 11, verse 1. Clearly, this is a very bad chapter division. So, chapter 10, verse 23 to chapter 11, verse 1. Here, Paul is bringing to a conclusion what he's been saying on this question of eating meat offered to idols. He's explained in chapter 8 that idols are nothing. Meat offered to idols got the stamp on it, then sold in the marketplace in the shambles. The believer is quite within his rights to eat that meat. It's not contaminated just because it's got that stamp on it. But a higher principle comes into play. Some believers, although they should realize this, don't realize it. They have tender consciences. They are weak in their conscience, as he puts it. They don't understand this. And they are anxious about eating meat that's got the idol stamp on it. So love overrides knowledge here. We will not force, says Paul, our freedom on such tender believers. He said, this is my principle. I will not eat meat. Although I can, I won't eat this meat offered in the idol, in the shambles that's been offered to idols. I won't eat it if it's going to make my brother offend. Of course, I'll instruct them and hope they'll come to see that they have liberty here. But in chapter 10, he spelled out there is a line you must not cross. Attending pagan festivals, eating with the pagans in the sense of idolatrous sacrifice, is a step far too far for the believer. So, while there is liberty, while there are things we can do, there is a line we must not cross. And now he brings it to conclusion. Chapter 10, verse 23. Everything is permissible. Now that's in quotes in my Bible, and I think excellently so. Everything is permissible, it's repeated. It's a kind of mantra, a kind of saying. And Paul can hear people saying, well, everything is permissible, you see. Everything is permissible. Very well, he says. Very well. Just a minute. Is everything permissible? Well, let's allow it for the moment, but of course everything is not permissible. Well, let's, in this context, everything is permissible. But Paul says, yes, but not everything is beneficial. And he's going to lay down now some principles which are abiding for us right to our present generation and will last to the end of time. This may not be our problem, eating meat offered to idols, but there are many other issues. Everything is permissible. Let's allow that as a principle. Qualified, of course, in the everything. Everything is permissible, but it's got to be beneficial, or as he says in verse 23, constructive, edifying. Will it profit people, spiritually speaking? He's speaking about believers here. We should not seek our own good, verse 24, but the good of others. Of course you can eat meat in the market, verse 25 and 26. Although it's got the idol stamp on it, of course you can eat it. And you needn't raise questions of conscience. There's no problem here. And if you go to a meal with an unbeliever invites you, verse 27, you go. Whatever he puts before you, in this connection, you can eat it. It may have come from the market where the meat is sold with the idol stamp on it. But you don't have to ask that or worry about it. There's no question of it. But, of course, if somebody sitting there says, ah, you're eating meat which is being offered in sacrifice, you can explain. But if the explanation does not satisfy, or if it's not suitable to give the explanation, if it's an unbeliever or whatever it is and they won't understand, whatever the conditions, if anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then don't eat it. If it's going to upset him, if it's going to upset his conscience, then don't eat it. Not your conscience, the other man's conscience, verse 29. So it seems to me that it's a believer there, and a fellow believer is there, and he sees you eating this meat, and he says, but look, he says, this has been offered to idols. You can explain to him, but if it doesn't satisfy him, he says, well, no, it's been offered to idols. Now, his conscience is over tender, is weak here. What do? I'm going to stand on my rights. Not at all. I'll give in, says Paul. He's already said it. I won't eat the meat. Not for my sake, but for his sake. You see, I'm free. But why should my freedom be judged by this man? Why should I offend another man's conscience? And why should he be bringing this up and causing this trouble for us? For why should my freedom be judged by another man's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? Now, if he's going to stand on his rights, that could be his overriding principle. I can give thanks for this, and I'm going to eat it, and I can do it, and your conscience will have to go hang. But he doesn't say that. No, I will not eat meat for his conscience' sake. I know I can eat with thankfulness, but I will not cause another brother to stumble. And then Paul, from verse 31 to verse 1 of the next chapter, lays down these great principles which must govern us believers to the end of time. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That's the first great principle. Does it glorify God? What am I going to do today? Well, whatever it is, I want to do it all for the glory of God. That's the first and great principle. When I preach, when I write, when I live, when I speak, whatever I do, eating and drinking, whatever it is, do it all for the glory of God. That's the first principle. Second principle, verse 32, don't cause anyone to stumble. Jews or Greeks, that's unbelievers. Jews or pagans, or the church of God, the ecclesia. There's the two divisions. Outside the church, Jews and Greeks, the church, the ecclesia. Outside the ecclesia, Jews and pagans. Now there's a whole range here. The Jews have the law, the Greeks don't have the law, and here is the church under the law of Christ. But what I do, says Paul, I don't cause anyone to stumble, a Jew, a pagan, or a believer. Even as I try to please everybody in every way. Don't let's misapply that principle. Watering down the gospel to please men. That's not what he's saying. But in my own personal life, I will give up my rights. Everything is permissible. That's the mantra. I have this knowledge, he says. I know I can do this, but I try to please everybody in every way. Jews, Greeks, believers. Another principle. I am not seeking my own good, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many. I'm out for the glory of God. I don't want to cause anybody to stumble. I'm trying to work for their positive good, and above all, so that they may be saved. So that they may be saved. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. Chapter 9, verse 22. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. The glory of God, not causing any to stumble, but positively seeking their good, and by their good I mean their ultimate salvation. I'm not going to make them stumble over meat if I can bring them to Christ. Christ is more important than my conscience, more important than meat, more important than my rights. Follow my example. There's another principle for us, brother and sister. We must be apostolic in our practice. We must go to Scripture, be governed by the Spirit taking us to Scripture, and follow the apostolic command and practice. And then the zenith, as I follow the example of Christ. We're not under the law of Moses. He said that already in chapter 9. We're under the law of Christ. And the supreme law of Christ is Christ formed in you. Christ-likeness. The believer living for the glory of God. Not causing any to stumble. Seeking to help wherever we can to do good to men, especially to see them saved, following the apostolic example in this, and Christ-likeness, following the example and pattern of Christ. You see how Paul always takes an issue and broadens it, deepens it, extends it, and here he applies it. We have a conscience. Those who watch us have a conscience. We are under Scripture. We have rights as believers. We can do this. We know this. We have the permission to do it. We are at liberty. Yes, all that's true. But there are greater principles. Love overrides knowledge here. We can, but sometimes we forego because it will offend. Above all, we seek to do good to men, that they might be saved and live with us for the glory of God. In this we follow the apostolic example here, and above all, Christ himself. Believer, this is the standard. This is the way we live. This is the law of Christ in action. Love, love, love. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the bond of perfection. Love. And that's the principle Paul is working out here. Love for our fellows, love for God, love to be like Christ and to show Christ to men. Unbeliever, none of this is for you in the first instance. It's not that you do these things and you'll be saved. Not at all. But believers do these things. Believers bend over backwards. Why? Because they want you to be saved. I address you now before I close this discourse. I want you to be saved. That will be for the glory of God and your everlasting good. How are you saved? By trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, as I've said many times. Looking to Christ, trusting him, calling upon his name, and be saved. Believer, everything is permissible within the terms, yes. But these are the higher principles. All for the glory of God. Seeking not to cause any offense, trying to please whatever we can in the right sense, not seeking our good, but the good of others. The mind of Christ is in us, Philippians 2. The good of many, above all their salvation, following the apostolic example, and Christ-likeness being the zenith. That is the law of Christ.